But Psalms 1, let me get there myself to join you, right around the middle of the Bible, Psalms 1. And actually today I'm planning to wrap up a series of messages. You know, it's been about, 2 months now. I have to think, I had to call off all the messages, but I'm sure it's been about 7 weeks where I've been sharing messages on the virtues of God's Word. I had no idea I was going to go that long, and not that it's a bad thing. I figured I would go maybe a couple weeks, and then it turned out I just didn't have peace that it was time to wrap up. So today I'll conclude this series of messages on the virtues of God's Word, and I thought this would be a good one that I've just kind of had in my heart here, this one and a couple of references in the New Testament we'll look into here in just a moment, God willing. But I'd like to ask you if you have your Bible and if you would make this confession with me. Again, words are on the screen. Our confidence is in God and the ability of His Spirit to speak through His Word to us today. Don't you want to hear God speak to you today by His Spirit? Like you know that God was speaking to you. I believe that, or I don't think you would be here. I don't think any of you were held hostage or at gunpoint to be here. You're here because you want to be, and we certainly thank God for that. So would you join me as we make this confession together? Words here, if you believe it, let's say it. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. You keep going. All right, let me back up. I need water. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God for water. Before I read these first few verses, from the beginning, God's heart was to bless mankind. We read right off the bat that God created Adam and Eve, and it says God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and gave them dominion over the earth realm. And even after the first couple chose to rebel against God and break His commandments, God's heart was still to bless. And we see it all through Noah, Abram, his family, all through Scripture, of how God was wanting to bless people. And the greatest blessing is the blessing of having all of our sins forgiven and being in right fellowship with God as our Father. And so all along, we see that His heart was to bless. And it wasn't just the first couple who sinned. We have all sinned. And our sin, not someone else's, our sin separates us from this sinless and holy God. But thank God that He provided a way where we can be forgiven, we can be restored, we can be made righteous, we can escape the judgment of hell because Jesus suffered and died on the cross in judgment for our sins and our place. And so we can experience the blessing of forgiveness. We can experience the blessing of right standing with God and fellowship with Him because Jesus conquered death and He is willing and able to save everyone who believes the testimony of God's Word and believes in their heart and receives Jesus as Lord. And when that takes place, we are forgiven of all sin. We are made right with God and His Holy Spirit indwells us. And then God's Word instructs us in how not only to experience that forgiveness like, you know, one time and, you know, that's it, I'll see you in heaven, but how to live in the fullness of His blessings right here in this life. And this psalm speaks about this in these opening verses, really the whole psalm. Verse 1 of Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man. That's actually written in a way that's like a singular, is one man as a representative of the whole human race. So the blessing can apply to everyone. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel or advice of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That word scornful means mockers. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The word blessed there is actually means a state of. It's not just like one instant of an emotion, like I'm happy for a minute, I'm sad for, you know, a minute. It's a state of heightened joy or happiness and joy. So it's a state of joy, and the word in the Hebrew can actually imply favor. So when it says that the man or woman is blessed, it's saying we can live in a place of God's favor. We can live in a state of joy because we experience the blessing of God in our lives. And I know, you know, in our culture, it can be very easy to equate blessing with money. And that certainly can apply, but let's not limit God's blessing to just something that we can stick in our pocket, like money or wallet or, you know, whatever it may be, some type of possessions and all of the stuff that we can acquire. So God, if I were to ask, even, you know, please don't raise your hand or anything, but if I were to ask, how many here this morning want to be blessed by God? How many of you streaming, you want to be blessed? You know, most all of us are going to say, well, yeah, I want to be blessed. But if I were to ask, how many of us here this morning want to be blessed to do God's will? You know, hopefully we'd have the same response, the same enthusiasm. And if we do, then that's great, because that's really God's blessing is ultimately about doing His will, fulfilling His call, and giving Him glory. So blessed is the man, and then he goes on and describes these blessings. And this morning, here's the title of the message. It's kind of simple. It's just, blessed are the doers. Blessed are the doers. Because the scripture says that it'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does, there's a doing. It's not just, well, I intended to, I meant to, I'm planning on. No, blessed are the doers. Would you say that with me? Blessed are the doers. Now, this psalm presents two competing worldviews, if I could say it that way, two competing values. There is the world's value system, and if I could say worldview, it just means how we see life and our perspective. So there is the world's perspective, the world's values, the world's worldview, and then there is the Word's, Word of God, the Word's worldview, the Word's values and perspective. And we all have a worldview. It's just a matter of which one we embrace, because the worldview that we choose and that we embrace will dictate how we basically live our lives. It will influence and dictate how we see God, how we see life, how we see people. It will influence and direct us in how we view marriage and family, and how we view sexuality. It will influence and direct us in how we view money, how we view conflict, how we view possessions, how we view education and work, how we view government, everything. It's our whole perspective. It's like putting on a certain type of sunglasses. Everything we see is going to be shaded by whatever that color of the lens is. That's what a worldview does. But it's not based on the outward. It's something that's from inside, and then it comes out. Look again with verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the advice of those who do not know God, the ungodly, nor stand in the path or way of sinners, not going in the way of life along that line, nor sits in the seat of mockers. We need to be very wise, and we need to be aware. I'll say it that way. Let's be aware and alert about who we allow to influence us. The Bible says the righteous should choose their friends carefully because the way of the wicked will lead them astray in Proverbs 12. 1 Corinthians 15 says, do not be deceived. Evil companions will corrupt good manners. So there is a power of influence, and please know this, every form of media has the potential and power of influence. And it's easy enough to prove. Find out how much a company pays for 30 seconds during a Super Bowl. Millions of dollars. They're not spending that just to throw money away. They're investing it because they believe if they can get our attention for 30 seconds, it will influence what we buy. Isn't that something? So again, I'm not saying all, please don't take that wrong. I'm not saying all media or certainly all friendships are wrong. I'm not saying they're evil. I'm simply saying let's be aware and wise and let's be alert to what is allowing us. I would even ask you to examine your heart. How are your friends, how are your media choices affecting you? When you come off of that website or that whatever it may be, that web page, or you leave that person's presence, evaluate your heart and how is your faith in God? How is your peace level? Do you have more joy? Or is there an uneasiness? Is there anger? Is there something seething on the inside of you? How does it affect your view? You know, the Bible says we're to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. After we watch that program, after we listen to that music, do we have our love for God like it's just growing and strengthened? Or our love for our neighbor as ourselves, like we're blessed, encouraged? Or is it tearing us down? Is it sowing seeds of discord and division? I know we watch the news, we want to be aware, but we don't have to feed on that 24 hours a day either. There is a place. Blessed are the doers. He starts off by saying, you want to be blessed? You want to live in the full blessing of God? Be careful and be wise and don't allow yourself to be taken astray by some evil, some influence that is not of God. Next month it'll be 2 years straight. I've been in school now, along with work. I'll just give you an example, okay? I know this isn't just one show. It's from kids' programs, music, and everything, but just to give you an example. So I don't have a lot of TV time. But Tuesday, I had, you know, pretty big assignment. I had to get in Monday before midnight. So Tuesday, I had a little more, you know, I was working and so forth. And about maybe 8 o'clock, I went on just trying to relax. I had a school book with me. I was just kind of penciling. It wasn't real heavy, just doing a little work while I had a TV on. So I watched, had a couple programs on. And this one program came on. It doesn't matter what it was. It's, again, I just want you to see the idea. And the opening scene was a couple men, you know, they were, looked like business, you know, had a business attire on, shirt and tie, I think. And one may have had a badge or something. I don't know 100% about that. And the other one was talking about, he must have been a real estate agent or something. He said this lady, you know, he went in yesterday and he was showing her the house and she was ready to just buy it right off the bat. She excused herself. She went to the bathroom. He said she came out of the bathroom high as a kite. I could see the white powder right up under her nose. and then the other man said, you should have told her you were married to a police officer. And, you know, it was the just that little simple, you know, the two men married together there. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, if, let's say it was real life, and they're my neighbors, or maybe we went to school together somehow, you know, we had some kind of association, they're just as worthy of my honor and respect and value as any other person created in the image of God. I should love them, befriend them, be kind to them, but I could love someone and accept them without approving of a lifestyle that God's word forbids. And I know that can be a little bit uncomfortable, but that simply shows us how much influence we've already been under. We don't, if I'm willing to accept someone just as a fellow, as a friend, and a fellow human being, and treat them with respect, why can't I be accepted as a Christian who believes the Word of God without endorsing? If I will accept you without endorsing necessarily your activity or lifestyle, aren't you willing to do the same for me? And if you're not, who's being intolerant? Blessed are the doers. So again, it's not a personal put down. I have no ill will toward anyone. Anyone who embraces any kind of a lifestyle, honestly, is, you're not my enemy. I know who my enemy is. It's not a human being. But God calls us to a standard. I didn't come up with the standard. I will either believe God and submit to His will and follow His path by His grace, or I will reject it. By God's grace, I'm going to embrace and do His will. I will seek to walk in love, and then whatever happens, happens. Blessed are the doers. I want to be blessed by God, and I want Him to use me to reach others. He goes on in that psalm, and he says in verse, let me read that again. Let me just back up there. Verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. This is so important that we, you know, we can choose to delight in God's Word. That word delight means to find pleasure in. Let me ask you this. How much pleasure do you find in God's Word? How much delight do you have in God's Word? You want to get it in. You want to take it into you. It brings you blessing. It encourages your heart. You don't want to go without God's Word. You don't want to come to a church service and hear me just mouth off and talk. I hope. Wouldn't you be disappointed if we didn't even come into the Word? So what, we couldn't. How do we even call ourselves a church? So to come in and to take delight. But if we really delight, the Bible commands us in the New Testament, desire the Word of God that you may grow by it. So we can choose, we can decide to delight, decide to delight. Would you say that with me? Decide to delight. Blessed are the doers. We can delight in God's Word. And if we will delight ourselves in God's Word, we will meditate on it. We'll think about it. We'll declare, we want to discuss it. I love fellowshipping with people and we talk about the Word. I love hearing what God puts in other people's hearts. It's like, man, I was reading the Bible and I feel like God really spoke to me about this or that. I love people sharing something along that line with me. Love reading devotions and testimonies, hearing what God is doing in other people's lives. God's Word is living and powerful. The Word is powerful, it's personal, and it's practical. It's powerful. It'll change our heart. It'll change our lives, our attitudes. It's personal. How many of you know that God's Word will speak to you? I mean, you've had to speak to, it will be like a mirror to show you, you, your attitude, your whatever it may be. Somebody, you know, maybe we could say it like this. God's Word will read your mail. It's personal and it's practical. We live it out. It's not just something we hear or, you know, kind of like something one day in heaven. No, it's real life. It's how we live right now. And her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates or she meditates. Here's a good indicator of how much we delight in God's Word. How much do you think on it? How much do you declare it? Especially when your mind is free to go there. I know there are times, certainly during the day and work and school, we have to be focused on whatever that is. But when that time comes that our mind can kind of relax and go somewhere else, does it revert back? Is that like our default of God's Word and God's truth and promises and blessings? And we're thinking about God's Word and we're wanting to do His will. So how much do you delight? The fact is, we all meditate. It's just a matter of what we choose to meditate on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? May I be able to prove it to you? How many of us here, let's go ahead and raise our hands and be honest, all right? How many of us here have ever worried about anything just for even a second or a moment in our lives? Can we just admit it? All right, I think that's pretty much unanimous. All right, you raising your hand over there streaming? Y'all listen? All right. We've all, you know what worry is? It's simply negative meditation. Because worry isn't just, yeah, something's kind of troubling me. No, we stew on it and we think on it. And yeah, I might have something to do and it takes my attention for a few minutes. But then when my attention is free, I revert back and that thing's right there. And when I wake up in the morning or if I wake up during the night and it's like right there in my heart and right there in my mind. And not only do I keep it in my mind, we confess it and we speak it. Like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, why do you worry saying, oh, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? What? You see how it's linked together? Our thoughts and words, our thoughts and words. That's the Hebrew picture of meditation. It's the Bible picture of meditation. It's not just in our culture thinking, you know, well, I'm just kind of, you know, or whatever, you know, that's not meditation the Bible way. It's thinking and muttering. It's thinking and confessing. It's speaking. It's thoughts and words, thoughts and words. And our thoughts and words can either help us or hurt us. Let me say that again. Our thoughts and our words can either help us or hurt us. So when we're worried, we're saying, oh, that just scared me to death. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. And we just revolve it and revolve it. All that is meditation. So scripturally, then what we can do is just make it positive. And we get that truth of God's word and we meditate on that. We think it and we speak it and we think it and we speak it. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we confess it, even if it's just to ourselves, and we certainly don't have to keep it to ourselves, but we declare it and we speak on it, it helps to reinforce it in our mind and it helps it to take a deeper root in our heart so that we ultimately live it out, because that's the purpose of it. That's why he goes on in this next verse and he says in verse 3 that he shall or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Blessed are the doers. And thinking about thoughts and words, again, the largest book of the Bible is what? Psalms, and it means praise. It's the book of praises. Praise and worship and giving of thanks are simply ways of meditation. It's meditation. I believe there's power in a song. The psalmist said, he gives me songs of deliverance in the night. And we can have songs in our mind. I know we sang that song, Waymaker, this morning. There have been like days, just for weeks. It seemed like I've had that in my mind, man. I've just had it in my heart. And sometimes I'll just catch that tune of Waymaker, just singing and thinking about it. That's meditation. That's watering the word if it's a scriptural message to it. And it's an easy way to get that word in our heart and to get it into our lives. Blessed are the doers. Whatever he does shall prosper. Would you say, blessed are the doers? Delighting, meditating, and doing. Delighting, meditating, and doing. We delight in the word and we do the word as our response to God's goodness and mercy and grace to us. God is good to us. If you know the Lord in the forgiveness of your sins, God has been good to you. And even if you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, God has still been good to you. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You still have an opportunity to know Jesus and to have him in your heart and life and to live your life for him and be with him for eternity. The Bible says God gives us life, breath, and all things. So even for someone who doesn't know the Lord, there is a general blessing that we all experience. This is talking about a more specific, personal blessing. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who does not allow themselves to be influenced by the world in those ways, because there is a pull. We have our own tendency to sin that's pulling against us. So we need the strength of God's word to keep us close to the Lord and keep us strong. The Bible says here, I want to continue on. Well, I'll come back to this. Just hold your spot. Let me give you this one verse if you want to write it down, because this really goes into it well as well about the blessed are the doers. If you want to write it down, James chapter 1, verse 22, we'll put it on the screen. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of this work, this one will be blessed, notice, in what he does. Not blessed in what he intends, not blessed in what he plans on, not blessed in what he talks about, blessed in what he does. Blessed are the doers. Would you say it with me? Blessed are the doers. Would you look at someone there around you? Tell them, blessed are the doers. Now, we meditate on Scripture to get to know God better. God has revealed his heart and who he is in his word. So we think on the word to get to know our Father better, and we meditate on his word so that we can better live it out and live his way. You know, what I've found is when we begin to think about the word, it becomes personal to us. So it's like we personalize it. It's like God is speaking to us. And I want to encourage you today and even challenge you, feed yourself. Take the word in. Get that word in you. Just like, we had a lady share a testimony here that her husband had eye surgery, but he was feeling better. He made a meal for her. He fixed supper for her. And just like the goal of cooking is what? The eating. And the goal of Scripture is the doing. And so we need to feed ourselves. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So feed. Let's not be spiritual babies. Let's not be spiritually where somebody's got to feed us all the time. There's a place for us to be fed together. But then let's be like a child growing up and say, I'm going to feed myself. I'm not putting it on someone else. No excuses, no blame. I'm going to get the word into me. And feed on it yourself and build yourself up on your most holy faith. Let me close with these two specific blessings. Again, I believe there are many, but blessed is the man. There are two specific blessings before we close. I want to ask you to just, if you're writing notes, take it down. Back in Psalms chapter 1, and the Bible says this, Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, we read it earlier. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit. Would you say fruit? In its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The first specific blessing of being a doer of God's word is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And I'll give you another scripture reference in the New Testament from the lips of Jesus himself, that fruit that glorifies God is really Christ-likeness. It's growing more like Jesus. That's the ultimate goal for all of us. And meditating on the word, delighting in the word, and doing the word helps us grow in Christ's likeness. I think for many years, I had a tendency, and maybe we have in our culture of the church, especially maybe some years back, that we equated spirituality with knowledge. And we thought, that person knows a lot about the Bible. They're really spiritual. And that maybe they are. But it's possible to know a lot about the Bible and not even be a Christian. So it's spirituality is not just learning Bible information. It's Bible transformation by God's Spirit and becoming more like Jesus, which begins by being born again so that his Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. So this one will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bears fruit in its season. The leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That word prosper means to make progress or prevail. That's important. It doesn't mean necessarily that, I'll be a millionaire. You may be, but if you're blessed by God for that purpose, you'll use it in a way that glorifies the Lord. Its fruitfulness is growing in Christ's likeness. This one will be blessed. This one will prevail. This one will be moving forward, progressing in God's will if we do what he tells us to do. Let me read you these verses in John 15, and then I'll go back to Psalms 1. John 15, Jesus is speaking here, and he says this in verse 3. John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." Don't you know that the word of God has a cleansing effect? It will wash us. It'll cleanse our heart, cleanse our mind. He says, "You're already clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Now abide in me. Abide in close fellowship with me. Stay in close relationship with me," or fellowship, "and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And I want to read one more verse. Verse 8 says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Again, we can be fruitful in every season of our lives to the glory of God. That's the key. He says, you'll bear much fruit. My Father will be glorified. That's Christ likeness. And he says, the fruit, when if you take fruit off of the tree, the fruit was produced by the tree, but you got the benefit, right? So we don't produce the fruit. The Holy Spirit in us produces the fruit as we remain in close fellowship with Jesus. And then as we're in close fellowship with him, we bear the fruit, but he produces it. And then when the fruit of Christ's likeness is evident in our lives, it's not just for us. Just like the fruit is not for the tree. It's not just so somebody will look at me and say, "Oh, you're so spiritual." No, the fruit is for others so that we can share the grace of God with others too. Fruitfulness. Blessed are the doers. And then I'll close with this second one. In verse, again, Psalms chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says this, talking about the stability and fruitfulness of a believer. But he says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Chaff was the outer covering of wheat. And the wheat had some weight and substance, like a shell, maybe like a, any of you eat pistachios? You ever get like pistachios that are, you know, they're cooked and some of them will be like cracked open a little bit and you can kind of open that. It might be a little bit like that, but the shell would be like the chaff, but it's real light. And so what they would do is they would actually go out into a windy area and toss the grain up into the air, into the wind like that. And the wind would come along and it would take that outer husk, that outer shell or the chaff away. But the wheat has enough weight and substance that it settles back down. And so what you get is the wheat. So this psalm here gives a picture of those who are ungodly. It's like when the wind of judgment comes, they're going to be swept away. And they will not have that stability because they don't have, they're not bearing the fruit. It says they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Again, that's the context of it here. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way. He knows intimately. He approves the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I'll close there. Matthew chapter 7, again, Jesus is speaking here, and he's coming to the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. And I'll go ahead and give you this second blessing that is a result of doing the word. Blessed are the doers, fruitfulness and stability. Fruitfulness and stability. Just like that wind, which will take that outer shell of the wheat away, the wheat itself has stability. It will settle back down. God will bring spiritual stability into our lives when we do what he tells us to do. Blessed are the doers. Jesus says it like this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. He goes on in verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Notice both heard, but only one did. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Notice both heard the word and both experienced storms. Storms will come into our life because we're breathing, because we're human and we live in a world that's been marred by sin. And we will experience, we're going to feel the pull, we're going to feel the tug of that worldview, that world system pulling us away from truth, trying to deceive us, pulling us into ways that are not of God in our attitude. It's not just our actions, our attitude, maybe pride, selfishness, whatever it may be. We'll sense that even from our own nature wanting to lead us astray, and we need the stability of God's word. And it's like Jesus said, in those storms, when we experience those storms, we're not going to be swept away with everything that comes along, and we won't allow the storms. Yes, it may hurt and it feel like it's devastating, but when the storm is gone, if we're obedient to the Lord, we will still be standing on the rock, because He's not moving. He's not going anywhere, and if we build our lives on Him, we'll make it through too. God is faithful to see us through. So when those things come, blessed are the doers, and we'll still be standing. And the storms of life may reveal what we're building on. Are we building on sand? Yeah, we hear it, but we're not living it out and not putting it into practice. And then the storm comes and there's some type of collapse. So we need the stability of obedience. Blessed are the doers. And he says this, I want to back up just at verse 21, because he said in verse 24, therefore. So I want to kind of tie it together. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, notice what Jesus says right before that in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Have the right words. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. We never had a relationship. You knew about me, but you didn't know me, and I didn't know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Isn't that something? See, doing the word of God is the fruit of knowing God. It really always comes back down to that relationship. It's knowing God as Father, then being in close fellowship with Him and bearing fruit and being stable in our lives. I want to ask you to look at verse 12 in just a moment, and that's going to be our challenge verse for the week, okay? In fact, let's look at it now. Jesus said this, very familiar passage, Matthew 7 and verse 12. Let's put this one on the screen, and I'd like to ask you to read it out loud with me off the screen so we'll be on the same translation, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Some of you would recognize this as what we call the golden rule, all right? So would you read it with me, verse 12? On the screen. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I want to ask you to think on this, write it down if you need to, dwell on it. I'm going to do it with you. I haven't started yet, all right? I want to do it with you, and let's begin to think on it. Let's delight in it. Let's dwell on it, and let's do it, all right? Delight in it, dwell on it, and do it. Verse 12, even if you just memorize and got these words, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. If you got that much of it, and I hope that you'll be able to share that with me next week, all right? I want to close with something. I was reading a little story recently, and there was a man who was coming out of a church building, and he met his neighbor walking along the sidewalk. So the man just walking along the sidewalk sees his neighbor coming out, and he asked the man coming out of church, he said, is the sermon done? And the man coming out of the church building said, no, it is preached, it has yet to be done. I said, wow. So it is preached, it is yet to be done. Blessed are the doers. This one verse, Brother Sean and I, he picked me up a couple Sundays ago, a nice Sunday afternoon. We rode down to Route 5 to ride the bikes. We were going to go out, beautiful area, man, and just a nice little bike ride. And I don't even remember how we got talking about this, but somehow we started talking about this one verse on the way back in the truck. And we were saying, could you imagine how different our world would be if we lived by this one verse. One verse. Hey, do to others what you want them to do to you. Wouldn't that be something? Blessed are the doers. You don't have to say anything out loud, but I want to ask you, will you at least try to learn that, focus on it, and then by God's grace, because we're going to need help, ask the Lord to help you to live it out even this week and get that in you. I'm telling you, when we go through those seasons and storms in our lives, it's the word that we've, just like Brother Mark was sharing with me this morning, sometimes you get in that, you know, they're getting ready to do some kind of surgery or something's going on. You can have that human uneasiness. That's just normal. But if you had the word in you, you focus back on God's grace and you focus on Him, and it can bring you a peace even in those trying moments. Blessed are the doers. Can we stand together and we'll close in prayer?